Amen. Just remain standing to get your Bible, if you will. Turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter number 24. I will be short. I start to say short and sweet, but I won't promise that. I'll be short, try to be, and give you the thought on her heart. I don't I take a few minutes to get my thought, and then we'll be out of here. All right. Let me mention, don't forget the ladies' Christmas get-together is Friday night at, 6 o'clock. Friday night at 6 o'clock here at the church. And so if you can come out for that, that'd be a blessing. Amen. Then the Christmas party for Miss Kelly's class, Miss Ruth's class, will be Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. We won't be having choir practice on Sunday, so remember those things as well. All right, Luke chapter 24, look at verse number 13, and I'll read down through verse number 16. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. I want you to notice that verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Turn back, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 14. And I'll read you a text there. Matthew 14. And verse number 25. Matthew 14 and verse number 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Now turn back over in John chapter number 20. John chapter 20. We've got this text and one more, and then I'll stop and pray and give you my thought. All right. John chapter 20, verse number 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. Look at this phrase. And knew not that it was Jesus. Chapter 21. And verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto him, or unto them, "I go a fishing." They said unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and here's my phrase, "But the disciples knew not that it was the Lord." Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, the privilege to gather around and pray. Lord, I want to thank you that you helped me. You relieved my burden somewhat in the prayer that, Lord, you're in control. And, Lord, in the singing, as the congregation sang and as Miss Woodard sang that, Lord, everything does look different from the shepherd's point of view, from the mountain point of view. Lord, I'm glad you're in control. Father, I pray now that you would bless our time together. Thank you for allowing us to be able to talk about these missionaries and, Lord, to take on these four that I believe, Lord, will be good representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, representatives of the Island Ford Baptist Church, even as they represent the gospel. Lord, I'm excited about it. I pray you'd use them and, Father, you'd keep them holy Lord, you would keep them happy and healthy and on the battlefield serving Jesus till Jesus comes. Lord, I pray you'd help us that the funds would come in and we'd be faithful on our end to keep praying for them and supporting them and holding them up and holding the ropes, Lord. And Lord, you get the glory. I pray now help us and meet the need of the hour as we preach. Use us for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. All four of the texts that I read to you deal with different instances when the Lord met with people and they did not recognize Him. I want to preach on the thought why some people will not recognize the Lord when He comes. You see, in these texts that I read, these four different ones, the first one that I read in the book of Luke dealt with the resurrection day, those two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. They were discussing the events of the day and what had happened, the story about the resurrection. Jesus came up, walked alongside of them, and they did not recognize Him. In the second case that I read in Matthew chapter number 14, you got 12 disciples on a boat headed to the other side. They get in a storm. Jesus comes walking on the water and they did not recognize Him. They thought it was a spirit. He spoke to them and said, "Be not afraid, it is I." And Peter still questioned whether or not it was the Lord. Amen. And he said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee." Thirdly, we saw in John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene weeping at the tomb. She has seen the angels at that empty tomb. She is approached by the resurrected Christ, and yet she did not recognize Him at first. Now, I'll give her benefit of the doubt. Her eyes were probably filled with tears. Amen. At that moment. But she recognized His voice. Amen. But she didn't recognize Him when He first showed up. The last scripture I read in John chapter 21, you've got Peter and the disciples toiling all night, going fishing, toiling all night, catching nothing. And Jesus appears on the shore, and again, they failed to recognize Him. Now, here's where I'm going with that. This, just a statement. Apparently, it is a common thing for men to not recognize the Lord when He approaches them. I think that is a human condition. Amen. A lot of men, and when I say men, I'm talking about people. A lot of people, when the Lord starts dealing with them, first of all, about their salvation, they don't know what it is. Sometimes I've heard people say, "My heart's running away with me, and I don't know what it is." Amen. I've heard people say, "I just feel something, and I don't know what it is. I feel drawn to church, or I feel drawn to the altar, and I don't know what it is." The nation of Israel looked for the Messiah, but He showed up and none of them almost, very few of them recognized Him. I'm saying it's just common. It's a common tragedy among men that when the Lord shows up, He's failed to be recognized. Many men and women found in the Bible throughout history have looked for the Lord, have heard about the Lord, have looked upon the Lord and missed Him, failed to know who He was or what was going on. Amen. And with that thought in mind, I want to take a few minutes very quickly and just preach on that thought. Why some people will not recognize Jesus when He comes. I don't have an alliterated outline. I've just got three or four points. And then we'll go to the house. And by the way, in my message, not just take up time, because we took enough time. We could quit, go home now. And I could honestly say it's been good to be in the house of God. But I believe this will be something that would help us. Number one, the reason why a lot of people won't recognize Him when He comes is because He won't be a baby in a manger. Some people, that's all they know about Jesus. They go to church at Christmas time. They hear the story about a baby in a manger. They don't know anything else about Jesus. They know about a baby laying in a pool of hay or a pile of hay, amen, in that manger, laid in a stable. And that's the only Jesus they know. And so when He comes, they won't recognize Him. Amen. I heard this story one time and I wrote it down. I want to read you this little story that I thought was quaint and it's funny in a way, but it's sad because it's so true. It said a little boy was taken by his family to see the Christmas lights and to enjoy the scenes and the sights at Christmas. As he walked along the chosen pathway and observed the wonderful sights, the father and mother quizzed the little lad about what he saw. He was familiar with Mickey Mouse and Goofy. He knew Charlie Brown and his feeble Christmas tree. He readily recognized the Grinch who stole Christmas. He called by name Santa, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, and Frosty the snowman. Then, as they stood wondering at the stable scene, his mother spoke in a whispered voice. She pointed out the three wise men, the lowly shepherds, the angel chorus, and finally, the Virgin Mary and Joseph. As they turned to walk away from this majestic scene, the little boy was heard to say, "Mama, who was that baby laying in the hay?" It's sad, but a lot of people at Christmas, they see everything but Christ. Amen? Amen. And it's supposed to be His day. Amen. It's sad that at Christmas time the world's supposed to be thinking about Jesus. Too many times their thoughts are on all these other things that I said. All these other programs and these other to-dos. And what they are is vanity and foolishness in their means. But they see that, but they don't see Christ. And then those that do see Christ, all they see is that wonderful scene of the wise men and the shepherds and the angels and Mary and Joseph in the stable. And all that. They don't know the real story about why He came. Amen. Too many times people get full, their thoughts full of gifts. Amen. Full of gadgets. Amen. And they don't recognize the Lord. I'll say, first of all, the reason a lot of people won't recognize Him when He does come is because He won't be a baby laying in a manger. Right. Number two, the reason why a lot of people won't recognize Him is because He won't be a naked hippie hanging on a tree.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Some people have the idea of an image. They got an image in their mind. And it is an image, by the way. They have an image in their mind of some naked hippie hanging on a tree. They think that's Jesus. That's their mentality of what Christ is, what the gospel is. Amen. Amen. As a matter of fact, God specifically commanded us not to make graven images. Amen. Not to allow those things to become idols to us. Amen. Amen. And the second thing I said about that, our Lord was not a hippie. Amen. Amen. He never did anything that was shameful. He said, "It is a shame for a man to have long hair." Well, the Apostle Paul said it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And so Jesus would not have been a hippie. He did those things which pleased His Father. He never lived shamefully. Amen. Amen. And the third thing about that, not only, by the way, let me back up about Him being naked. He was naked, but that wasn't His doing. And that was the shame placed upon Him. He took our shame. Amen. He allowed them to strip Him and mock Him and make Him a mockery and a cursed thing hanging on that tree. Amen. Amen. But the third thing I want to say, not only He was naked, but it was shame. Secondly, He was not a hippie. Thirdly, He was only on that cross for 6 hours. He's not on that cross now. Amen. Amen. The Savior we worship, amen, is not hanging on a tree. Amen. Amen. We don't have to crucify Him afresh and anew. Amen. He don't have to die again every day so that we can experience forgiveness. Amen. He went to that cross one time and with His own blood He entered once into the holy place. Amen. I'm glad He's sitting down at the right hand of God the Father. He's not only not on the cross, He's not in the tomb. He's alive and well. Amen. He's our ever-living Lord. We don't worship a dying Savior nor a dead Savior. We worship a living Lord. Amen. But a lot of people won't recognize Him because all they know is the baby. All they know is the naked hippie that they've seen pictures of hanging on the cross. Third reason why most people won't recognize Him is because He won't be a gentle, loving, soft-spoken religious leader when He comes. I believe there's coming on the scene, there are already these on the scene, but it'll be even more. There's coming on the scene one smooth-talking, slick-tongued rascal that's going to unite the religions of the world, and they're going to fall down and call Him the Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, you can take this however you want to take it. Well, we had about 6 years ago a man running for president, and he got in there, and he was such a smooth talker, people termed him the Messiah. He never rebuked them for that. That's a strike against Him, by the way. Right. Amen. Amen. He should have been ashamed. He should have said, "I'm not the Messiah." Amen. Right. Amen. But they termed Him that because He was so smooth-talking. Amen. Somebody said He didn't say anything, but He said nothing better than anybody else has ever said nothing. Amen. But there's coming a fellow on the scene that's going to say all the right things, gather all the religions together, but that's not going to be the Christ. The world's going to flock to him. They're going to think he's the Christ, but he's not going to be the Christ. You see, most people have been taught to despise doctrine. They've been taught to despise dogmatism. We're supposed to be tolerant. We're not supposed to be black and white, draw the line, say it's this way or no way. They're pushing that, by the way. Pushing it, that we got to be tolerant. Amen. And because of that, they look on anything with borders, anything with standards, anything that does draw the line with an air of negativity about it. It's all negative, they think. And I'm telling you, when Christ comes, he's not going to be inclusive on everybody. Amen. He's not going to be a soft-spoken religious leader. Amen. Amen. When he comes, Jesus will not be uniting all the religions of the world together. He will be separating his people from all the others when he comes. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter number 13. If you'd like to turn there, turn there. I'll just read it to you. I think that'll be good. Matthew chapter number 13. And I'll start with verse number 37. Matthew chapter 13, verse 37. Read down through verse 43. Verse 37 begins and says, "He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Amen. So when Jesus comes, he's not going to be uniting people. He's going to be dividing people. He's going to call his saints out. Amen. And he's going to leave the rest for that terrible time of tribulation and the destruction that is to come after that. Amen. He's not coming as a soft-spoken individual. Three reasons I've covered. I'll give you my last one. Three reasons. Number one, they won't recognize him because he's not a baby in a manger. Number two, they won't recognize him because he's not a hippie, a naked hippie hanging on a tree. Number three, they won't recognize him because he's not going to be a soft-spoken, uniting-type, loving, religious leader. And number four, they're not going to recognize him because we have failed to give a clear presentation of what Jesus is. All that other, we can blame on them. So it's their fault that they think of him as a hippie. It's their fault that they think of him as a baby. It's their fault that they think of him as some kind of religious leader. But God didn't give them the Great Commission. He gave it to us. Amen. It's our responsibility to give them a clear presentation of the gospel. Amen. It do us no good to sit around and boast of the fact, "Well, I'm glad I know Jesus. I'm glad I'll be ready when he comes." What about all those that's not ready? What about all those we could have told, we didn't tell? God gave us the Great Commission. He's left us this limited time span of opportunity to spread the gospel to the end of the world. Amen. Listen, our job is to spread the gospel to the end of the world. I want to ask you this, and I know I'm new to this area, so I can't say that I have. We've not only spread it to the end of the world, have we spread it to the end of the street we live on? God help us. God help us. Now, I'm not teaching and preaching that you're going to be a soul winner, go knock on doors and win every one of them down the road to Christ. I wish it were that easy, but I know it's not. Amen. I wish that you could just pass out tracts and everybody that read a tract get saved. Amen. But it doesn't happen that way. Amen. But at the same time, if we don't ever give anybody a tract, we'll never give the right one a tract. If we never give people the gospel, nobody will get saved. Amen. I'm for holding the fort. I'm for keeping the standard here. But at the same time, we don't just hole up in a foxhole. We shoot back at the devil. Amen. We try to gain some ground for the glory of Christ. Isn't that right? Amen. God help us if we're not careful. We think, well, this is the end of the world. This is it. I'll just get here and hunker down and pull in everything around me. And God said we're supposed to be making advances with the gospel. Amen. The gospel has a go message. implied with it. Amen. He goes over and over, I could go through the scriptures and show you how that he says that we ought to be going. Let me ask you this. I talked about we're supposed to take it to the end of the world. Have we even taken it to the end of the street we live on? How about have we even spread the gospel in our whole family? Amen. Now, I know if you've got lost family members, probably everybody in this building have lost family members. Probably everybody. I'm not blaming you that you have lost family members, but if we haven't at least shown them the gospel and told them the gospel, when we stand in judgment, we're going to be in bad shape. Amen. Our job is to tell them, to show them. Amen. And that God help us there. Here's what he said. Here's what we all do. I believe we're running out of time. Amen. We're running out of opportunities. And right here at Christmas is a wonderful opportunity, a wonderful time to tell people about Jesus. But here's what the scripture says for us to do. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Paul said, you've not reached some of the people you should have reached. And so he's saying, we need to get busy telling them the gospel. Amen. I'm thankful for the church here at Island Ford. I'm thankful for the ministries that we have. I'm thankful for that radio. Amen. The ministry that we have, that great opportunity. But that does not stop the fact that God gave me and you individually the gospel message to tell them what Jesus did for us. They can argue about the man preaching on the radio. They can argue about the people they read in the books. But when you stand and look them eyeball to eyeball and say, I used to be just where you're at, and God rescued me and saved me and changed me, they can't argue with that. Amen. You show them what Jesus did for you. Amen. How good the Master's been to you. I believe it'll mean something. It'll do something for them. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to encourage you to give out the gospel. Give out the gospel. Tell it. Show it. Amen. Amen. If you need to come pray while they're coming with a song, I want to give you that opportunity. Most of us do need to pray for boldness in being a witness. We need to pray for discernment to recognize when the door's opened and to be able to say a good word at the right time. A word fitly spoken. Amen. God help us to have that discernment and wisdom. Amen. If the Lord's speaking to you and you need to come, obey the Lord and do what He says. All right? Brother, what are we singing? 161. You can look this way and sing with us. If you need to come, come on. Do business with the Lord.